my good day wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
The only thing that keeps me alive, let me tell you right now, is number one, I'm right. Number two, I'm willing to die for what I believe in. Which means a lot of them are going to die if they come up here and try to kill me or arrest me, because I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air.
On infiltration instead of invasion. On subversion instead of elections. On intimidation instead of free choice. On guerrillas by night instead of armies by day.
We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations.
In God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old.
Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists. Freedom and fear are at war.
We have before us the opportunity to forge, for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order. A new world order. When we are successful, and we will be. We have a real chance at this new world order.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the unequivocal truth, DEFCON 1, with me, your host, John Wick. There have been many words that have gone down in history that have a complete new meaning today, as these broadcasts will have an entirely new meaning in the future.
Sweet Jesus and a cob of corn. That is a dramatic introduction. I'm Bruce McDonald, joined by Monty Dean, and we're sitting in for John Wayne tonight at his request. And we're going to do the very best we can on the unequivocal truth. Monty, had you ever heard that intro in its entirety like that with headphones on before?
No, it's hello everyone. No, but I like it's heavy, it's metal, it's telling the truth. It's right up my alley. So I'm glad to be here. So thank you for inquiring, and a big shout out to John Wayne, not the actor, who will make sure he actually listens to the archive.
Yeah. So that's I don't know. That's a very dramatic introduction. Very what would I say here to include Australia. Very romper stomper is what it is.
Romper stomper.
Yeah, a positive romper stomper, not the actual romper stomper.
Yeah. That's a Russell Crowe reference for you cultural
He's from New Zealand. We don't like him anymore.
Is he a Kiwi?
Yeah, he was born in New Zealand, and he moved to Australia because there's more population and more opportunity, and he was successful. And, of course, if he does well, he's Australian, but if he fails, he's a New Zealander. That's how the Australian psyche works.
Okay, I see. These things have to be explained to me. I mean, but I do understand. I want you to know. I really do. I grew up in a country with this little province of about 12 million people called Quebec. Maybe you've heard of it. They speak this language called French. Maybe you've heard of it.
Oui.
And it's a similar sort of thing. You know, if an artist rises up out of Quebec and does really well on the international stage, we say he's Canadian. But if it goes the other way, well, it's just another pork-barreling Quebec artist.
Another Frenchman failing again, which is very quickly. Yeah, the French did really well up until the 20th century, and all of a sudden they're cheese-eating surrender monkeys. But yeah, well, so
Monty, I don't want to put any pressure on you, but I've broken the show down into like segments. I thought we could structure this a little bit, kind of like Norm MacDonald has a show.
Yeah.
Have you seen that on?
Not
Netflix?
Related. No. Not yet.
Okay, man. He might be the funniest man alive. I'm not half joking either.
There's a reason.
I think we have a delay. I don't know, but there's a reason he's a comics comic. Like the stand-up comedians revere Norm MacDonald, folks. They absolutely revere the guy. He's like a legend in stand-up circles. Just I think because he's so pure. Right? Like he never sold out for a sitcom or anything. He's just been doing the stand-up, and he hasn't had to make any compromises. And I think that a lot. And, you know, getting fired from SNL News, they told him he wasn't funny.
I actually was watching Louder with Crowder, and they during that they mentioned, because they were talking about ping pong, because Stephen has a half-Asian lawyer, Bill, and they actually said a Norm MacDonald joke. So for those listening who isn't familiar with Norm MacDonald, this is kind of a good teaser. You know, ping pong is the only sport named after its inventor.
they take about a half second to get too, right? They're very cerebral.
Yeah, and also he has a certain way of delivering stuff because it's pure Norm MacDonald.
Why don't you queue up 2 minutes of Norm MacDonald and I'll entertain the guests while you do that. What do you think?
I'll try because
Don't worry about it, man. That's not very enthusiastic at all. Your comic on the show. I get it. It's territorial.
Well, also, people have to listen to this show and they can listen to him afterwards I went to sleep last night, as one does, like 3 a.m. in the morning because my sleeping patterns are totally out of whack. Hello, Mr. Rowe in chat. All hail the Rowe Nation. I was going to type that, but it's easier to speak. And I had one of those you wake up in a dreams. Where, everything, I've won the lottery, everything, blah, blah, blah. And then, you woke up, it's a dream. Then you realize I'm still dreaming, aren't I? Then I woke up to this where it's kind of half nightmare, half dream, because there was that massive march in D.C. For Trump. And, of course, the mainstream liars, I nearly said media, but they're lying because we'll get into this in the structure that you have. We can go anywhere and still zero in on what John would be talking about. And apparently, the Trump supporters said, they're a cult. Yeah, because they're waving American flags and want freedom. How cultish. And there's been violence there, and it's not from, I hate the labels, it's not from the right, but it's from the left. Because you just keep seeing BLM and Antifa beating up people. It's not fighting, it's actual sucker punching and everything else like that. And apparently, this is the party of unity. So this is where we're at.
Yeah.
Especially like the article you sent me, it's like, this is just the cyber angle of it. Where... what is it, 69 days till hopefully by the 20th of January next year, there would be some type of calm, or, you know, because this station, we lean towards the old President Trump. However, I can accept if Biden gets in, because it's just going to pop off and get royal. Like, already, like, we're going to turn back with everything Trump has done. So you're going to rip up the peace treaties in the Middle East and start bombing again. Goodo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We want unity. And it's like, well, what do you mean, unity of a fist with my face? It's just like domestic violence, where they've been kicking the crap out. You've been punched in the face every day by the Democrats, and then they get let off on infraction. It's like, oh, everything's fine, darling. It's like, yeah, okay. You know what I mean? That's how it sort of feels.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this will go on too much longer.
No.
I wouldn't worry about it that much. I think everything is well in hand. I have been given a copy of Juan O'Savin's The Kid on the Street, if you're familiar with that, and I'm going to do it this week. I'm going to put the brakes on Carol Quigley's Tragedy and Hope and just do this book. It's a very short book, but it's a very important book, and it'll be very interesting. But I think I think what we're seeing now is just unbelievable. I think the scope of it. And, you know, I do believe that this narrative is on. But I wanted to say, as a kind of comic aside and a way to contextualize what I see in the world now, I say, you're beginning to see flashes, like, you know, fireworks, little flashes here and there of what a world under Biden is going to be like. I made the mistake of perusing Foreign Affairs magazine online, and they had essays published by Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden Jr., who's Joe Biden. And the entire tone of the articles is a post-Trump reparation to foreign policy, and the threats that have been opened up as a result of the four-year Trump presidency. And, I mean, my God, man, they're just going to wrap the present up again like it was never opened and put it back on the shelf.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. And the disparity between going into that reality and staying on Trump for another 4 years, it's so great in my head. I can barely contain the two, Monty. It's like the Biden world is like a nightmare I fall back into in between a 10-minute snooze setting on the alarm on my cell phone. And then the snooze waking me up is, oh, Christ, yeah, I'm in reality. Trump is still president. It's unbelievable, like, how dark, like, they can turn it on. It's like Montgomery Burns blocking out the sun. Like, you just get the slightest hint of what they're going to bring forward. You know, the public list of Trump supporters who will never work in a university or a public institution or any corporation of repute again. You've been like, oh, my God. It's unbelievable, like, how passive-aggressive these people are.
Yeah, and this is coming from a Canadian, ladies and gentlemen, so he knows his stuff. From the spiritual, I don't use woo-woo anymore because that's been weaponized, but from the spiritual world, there's a couple of theories. We're seeing timelines split, and if you're familiar with the Dolores Cannon sort of prophecy that the worlds are splitting, you can kind of see it where, as you explained, you've got Biden's timeline and you have, if Trump stays in, timeline, and they're vastly different. Because, like, the Naomi Wolf, the famous author, actually tweeted out a couple of days ago, Biden's talking about lockdowns. If I knew that, I wouldn't have voted for him. Everyone's like, he said that repeatedly over the last 2 months. That's what he wants to do. He wants to put a mask mandate, put in lockdowns. Yeah. He wants to get rid of all the tax cuts. So, you know, prices are going to go back up again. They're probably going to go into Syria. Like, well,
Just say it. The destruction of the America is back on track. Trans-Pacific Partnership, Paris Climate Accord, all of those documents, folks, were written for a single purpose in mind, and that is to destroy the top 3 to 5 Western economies, the United States, Australia, Canada, Britain, and Germany. Okay. And Germany is willfully going along with it as the, you know, I'll play with one arm tied behind my back European example for affirmative action. It's basically, you know, this is what it's come to. This is what, productive and competent societies to even have a voice in the world now, you have to like cut off an arm and a leg and say, okay, it's a fair fight now. It's a fair fight. Meanwhile, everybody wants what we produce. All of this is really about the jealousy of what we produced. What they're going to end up doing is destroying the means of production. So we'll all be living in wood shacks again, shitting in a hole in the ground. And then nobody will be jealous of anybody ever anymore. And it'll be the great socialist utopia. Ergo, Monty, it's all in people's heads. Like only the human animal can do this.
Yeah, if you remember when Obama said we'll make everyone equal, everyone thought he meant we'll be making people go up. What they're doing is suppressing everybody to be basically living in a shanty town while six people – it's so Hunger Games. You don't have to read the books. It's worth seeing the movie once if you haven't seen the Hunger Games. Just see the first film. You don't have to watch all five of them. But if you look at how the world is created in the Hunger Games, where it is so Agenda 21 or Agenda 30, where and the story is 70 years after rebellion, all humanity is stuck in these little ghettos, and 90% of the country is open wildlife where the elites go play. And does that sound familiar? I'm saying this on this station. Does that sound familiar? Oh, of course it does.
Yeah.
What I do like about Germany, very quickly, what I do like about Germany is that the leadership is following lockstep, pun intended. However, the German people are going, at the moment, they remember the 1940s and the 1930s. And that's why, did you see that demonstration against mask and lockdown about a month or two ago? There were millions of people. Because the Germans do remember. They've gone through this before. And they're like, nein, we will not do this again.
Well, you guys went through it first, but I think it's just because of the way the world spins. You went into your winter season. So what was done to – what was the worst city hit? Was it Melbourne?
Yeah, Melbourne, Victoria, because from the mainstream reality, which could be fake, but most likely has been manipulated, we had over 800 people die allegedly from COVID. The rest of the country had 80. And so Melbourne, Victoria was the epicenter, and we had the harshest lockdowns. For a while there, people in Pyongyang were freer than people in Victoria, in Melbourne. That's the level. But they put forward, it's to save people. It's, you're saving grandma. And then you have if you give me a moment, I did share this on social media. A famous singer that I can't remember because they're that famous. No, that's the Metallica joke. This explains the political division in the United States perfectly. Erika Badu, E-R-Y-K-A-H. I can't remember. I don't know how to say her name. She's a professional, musician and blah, blah, blah. But she tests positive for COVID-19 in the left nostril, but is negative in the right nostril.
Yeah. Yeah, I read that story. I think you put that up on Facebook, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, kind of remarkable, kind of unbelievable.
Did you see what Elon Musk actually put up as well? He had 4 tests in one day, and he was 50% positive and 50% negative, as well.
Wow! Unbelievable! Mm-hmm. Unbelievable! It's hard to get a handle on that guy. Sometimes he does stuff I like, and sometimes he just does stuff. It's just like, dude, what planet are you from?
Yeah, and there's elements of like, are you a Bond villain? I'm not, no.
Yeah, no.
He's got the bank account to be a Bond villain, but then sometimes he's got a moment of clarity. It's like, he said AI it could be dangerous, and then a week later, we've got intranet or whatever it is where I'm going to jam a chip into your head. And I'm like, well, are we flipping timelines and Elon Musk is the marker?
Yeah. Yeah. excellent question. We got all this weird science in the background, you know, with CERN releasing articles saying that they hope to open a door to a parallel universe. You know, this is about 3 weeks ago. It's just mind-boggling, right? Just
well, I'm a massive sci-fi fan. I've seen so many movies. I would think, let's err on the side of caution here. Have you seen? Obviously, it wouldn't sell, but I haven't really seen a good movie or TV show where a portal opens. Maybe Stargate or SG-1. There's kind of positivity here, but they're only because you need the drama, so you get all the negative effects. But CERN, doesn't that have a nuclear explosion at the front of its? No, it's got Shiva, the god Shiva, the Destroyer, in their courtyard. Yeah. I'm like, really? Aren't you scientists? Why do you have that? What?
Well, I think it's part of the reason for the success we're having with Stardust Ranch, John Edmonds and I. I mean, that book has been selling okay for a year, and it's just this, such a big theme now in the human imagination, the door to the other universe opening. I mean, it's everywhere. It's in His Dark Materials. It's in the Avengers. You know, Loki comes through the portal, and in the first Avengers movie, it's like everywhere. Like every other movie you watch now, there's like a doorway opening to another universe. And then they go from the fiction to the nonfiction. You've got Stephen Greer saying the exact same thing, that your consciousness itself is a portal if trained properly. And, so it seems to be a very, very big idea around us right now. And I think it's a big thing for people to come to terms with. I think it's important that people come to terms with this, that we're living in a reality that is not as we publicly define it. And the reality as it exists seems to be breaking through to various percentages and portions and populations all around the world. Like you and I and people who listen to Revolution Radio and things like that. And it just seems to be breaking up against, this impenetrable seaside wall, this levee that was built that we call the institutional thinking. Now, And this is all good and natural, right? Like, consciousness evolving, and especially as it pertains to some of the cosmological or astronomical reasons that it's doing so, like our position in the Milky Way galaxy and all of that stuff, if you subscribe to that stuff, Monty, and I certainly do, then this is all right and natural. But what's and it would be a completely natural passage if we were still living in grass huts. But it's when we've built up so much, and it's all like this these demonic satanic systems. The base of the satanic power in the world now is in the institutions. It's in the systems. This is where they've incarnated systems. This is where the summoning the demons is taking place. It's taking place in the corporations. It's taking place in the large public institutions, and most recently, it's taking place in the enfant terrible of the New World Order, which is the dreaded private-public partnership, where a private company comes in and says, hey, Canada, you're not making proper use of that freshwater resource you have. Why don't you enter into a privatization contract with us, and we'll broker your water around the world? Well, like every country in the world, Canada is in massive debt right now because of the principal system meant to break us, which is the monetary system. So we sell our water to the transnational corporation that is in the private-public partnership, Monty. Mm-hmm. And, it's just going to be a world without any human rights and any accountability, because what they're doing is they're inverting the private-public principle, right? Private property is your home and my home, and public property is a public building. That's all changing now, right? You're not going to be able to get into a courthouse unless you have paper saying you have a court date that day, even though it's a public building. But the police are now able to walk into your home because it's owned by the legal person, which is really on lease from the state. You really don't have any rights. So they're not going to really need warrants or anything like that anymore. They're just going to open your front door, pick the lock, walk right in and say, hey, come with us.
Yeah, have you gone down the rabbit hole of the Great Reset, which is supposed to start in January? Yeah, yes. I saw a bit of propaganda that it's like someone in marketing's earning their dollars, because the theory is you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. And no, because I like my Metallica records and I'm keeping them, you twat. Mm-hmm. And so it's like the mental gymnastics. What a term! The mental gymnastics of going. You know, the state will control you. Ever since World War II, the government's become like, we're a parent, we'll look after you. Like, the UN should be closed down because, we're bringing peace and harmony across the planet. And if you look from 1947, how many wars and genocide and everything else, and that's been under the UN's watch. It's, you know, say like voting for Joe Biden, it's like, I've been in government for 47 years, give me another go, I'm sure I'll do better.
Yeah, yeah. I promise I'm going to get it right this time. Yeah. I'm going to get it right.
I've been practicing last, for half a century.
Yeah, the last 47 years were just what we call in golf a mulligan.
It's like say a 5-year-old trying to learn to ride a bike. Oh, that's right. But you know, if you're still trying to teach that same child when they're 55, it's like, really, maybe buy a skateboard. Try walking. Yeah. Like, no, I'm going to get it. Yeah, it's been half a century, dude.
Yeah. Well, you think we should crack open this diabolical world to come and paint a kind of sci-fi picture that we'll call the democratic reality if they hold on to the Oval Office? Should we paint that picture for the listeners? Or should we do something more positive? Or what should we do?
Well, if we frame it correctly, because it's not a given. It's not 100% this will happen. I was looking at some of the teaching of Bashar, not the leader of Syria. You really have to bring that up sometimes. It's like, what, the guy from Syria said that? No, the other one. Basically, if you remember the movie 2012, it was so bad. Yeah, I mean,
John Cusack.
Yeah, you can save.
That John Cusack, curious character.
Yes. Apparently you can save a pole shift if you've got a Winnebago, a limousine, and a biplane. And like, oh, that's fantastic. However, from a spiritual point of view, because it was so bad, and it's just the story, the way that the film is made, it's awesome, but the plot sucks. Everyone that saw it on a soul level's gone, no, and it didn't happen. Because we are co-creators. And so using that idea or theory, what we're going to do is show what they want to happen. And I think 99.999%, 100% of the listeners are going to probably hear what we're saying and go, no, and do not consent to that reality. So if we put that warning in here, like now, as I just did, now we can talk about the batshit crazy the agenda that these idiots want. And I reckon it's going to be less than 12, like if Biden stays in, because they can just go, oh no, he's got dementia, and they put Harris in. People are going to find out very quickly. It's not going to be like 2 years in. It's like, oh, that wasn't a bad idea. But it's going to be like, say, March. It's like, these mother lovers are insane. You know what I mean? Because it's like they've started a war, like, and that's why very quickly. Have you noticed where, you know, Trump is full of hate and all his followers are full of hate? And I only see leftists hating Trump because he exists. That's them. Like, they're the ones who are burning shit down. They're the ones that are punching everybody. You know, they're violent. It's because Trump exists in their reality. Do some work, man. Do the inner work. So, what are they planning, like, for the Great Reset and Biden? And the article you sent me, I moved through it quickly, and it's like, well, this is par for the course, because they want their narrative to dominate, because they're right, everyone's wrong, and this lack of critical thinking.
Yeah. And gosh darn it, they'll make sure you believe that. They'll figure out a way to make sure you believe that, folks. And the article that Monty and I were going to do tonight, we'll just briefly mention it. It's another wonderful piece by Whitney Webb on a website called, a blogspot called unlimitedhangout.com. And U.S., U.K. intel agencies declare cyber war on independent media. And in a nutshell, the story is about an American company that has received a contract through, I guess it would be MI5 and the FBI or CIA to wage an AI campaign on social media to challenge what they consider to be disinformation. I believe we're seeing it already. Like if you're on Facebook, even on President Trump's Facebook account itself, because I follow it, when he posts a missive about the election, there's the AI warning at the bottom. You know, this is contested material. I don't think they quite realize how badly that's backfiring on them, Monty.
Oh, yeah.
I know to the left it's a big, big victory. Oh, look at that. We're humiliating the orange man. He can't even say what he, we shut him down. He's a monster. He's a fascist. Meanwhile, I suspect 80% of the population that actually voted for Trump are sitting back and going, well, wait a minute. Why does this creepy private company that was, you know, featured in the hit movie, the Oscar-winning movie, The Social Media, telling us what's real? I think the deep state is getting very – maybe this is what Trump and his team have been engineering. I don't know. But it seems to me, Monty, like they're getting very close to that fabled moment from Fables where the emperor has no clothes and they don't see themselves. I guess maybe this is one of the affectations of manipulating people's perception all the time through public relations and manipulation and lying, that when you hit in the timeline a kind of predetermined moment of truth, you don't know where you are. And that seems to be happening to these people now. Like the atmosphere we're living in, the climate we're living in seems to be turning on them. Do you agree with that?
Yes, because, I mean, I've done jokes about, you know, bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. Donald Trump sucks. He sucks at being a racist. He sucks at being a dictator. He sucks at being hateful. Because, like, the whole thing about, like, as you were saying, they're going, look, Trump's being censored. He's a dictator. If you look up the word dictator, he wouldn't be censored. He would have killed everybody that censored him. You know what I mean? How can he be a dictator when the mainstream media is cutting off his press conferences and tweets are being blocked? Like,
yeah.
That's the worst dictator in the world, especially like, oh, he's a racist. You know, yeah. Oh, he's a Nazi because he supports Israel and half his family's Jewish. Think, people.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, it's unbelievable. It's like the whole world has become a Seinfeld episode. It's so ironic. This is what I mean by this inversion principle, right? Where everything just gets inverted. Now, the literal meaning of what the left is trying to do, or the expressed meaning of what they're trying to do, is being interpreted as the literal and diametric opposite. And they don't see it. And it's like this huge blind spot, right? They don't see the irony themselves, like what you just said. How could he be a dictator, right? You know, the evidence is right in front of you, right? So I think it was a landslide for Trump. I think that he just, like, stomped the shit out of that. But we'll see how this is managed. And I think this is, like, what we call the crucible moment. You know, or the climax is what we would call it in drama, you know, of your play or your drama or your movie or your story is this election. And then, you know, this is where all the dramatic tensions are resolved. And then afterwards, the rest of your story is consequence to action, right? Like paying your consequences. This is what the epilogue is usually about. So we're at the end of the movie here, folks, and it's kind of cool. Like, this is a very, very cool moment. We're not quite at the end of the movie. I think there's going to be another little movie after the whole Trump mission is done by 2030. There's another little thing we're going to go through. Let's just say it's my theory that this is one of the layers of evil in the world we're taking out now. But it's going to be aggregated or concentrated into a more severe evil. I know that's a spooky thing to say. But hey, we are on the unequivocal truth, and a lot of spooky things do get said on this show. Right, Monty?
Yeah, that's why I'm glad to fill in for John Wayne, not the actor. It's like, well, yeah, I could definitely fill in for John. It'll make him proud. I had a thought that I wanted to share. There's transparency and they're being exposed, and it's like, you know, with punching for peace. It's that sort of very 1984, you know, Ministry of War, you know, war for peace and everything else like that. Because it's the way that a simple version, and it's not dumbed down, it's just an easy way of explaining the premises, that angels create and demons manipulate. And so what we're seeing is the decrepit evil side just trying to mold their reality where they keep control. And then there's other people going, well, no, you're wrong. And it's slowly being it's been exposed even more, because if you have a new world order, they have to come out of behind the curtain and go, okay, everyone, get on your knees. It's there's got to be that massive jump, and they're doing that whole push. Like, I mean, and it's just stupid. So being a comedian, apart, if you put the anger to one side and you use that energy just on an energetic level instead of just being pure angry, the stupidity that's coming out from, give me a sec, cough button, yay. Joe Biden has created the office of the president elect. That's the first time in history.
Yes. And I'm chief executive officer and president of Bruce McDonald Incorporated.
Well, I've changed my Twitter handle to president elect. I actually identify as president elect now. So please call me president elect Dean.
Office of the President Elect. I guess they're wheeling and dealing down there, eh? But look, you know, at a certain point, you have to think very, very critically and express your critical thinking. And we got to walk through this whole circumstance and assess its credulity. But that's hard to do these days because people are so warped in their perception. You know, so you always assume people will see what's obvious, but not so much anymore. The programming is so intense and so, you know, all-encompassing, you know, people just can't seem to get out of the straitjacket. But they're so locked in on the left now, and it's equally a life and death narrative. Like, their narrative is life and death. The narrative on the right is life and death. Like, if you were to ask me, what is this election about? What is this period in human history about? I would say unequivocally, it's about the future of the human race and what we evolve into and what timeline we go down and what we become in the future. And what I see on the side of what I will call the evil ones is just so unspeakably dark. And to me, I don't understand, Monty, why everybody can't see it. And that's the most difficult thing about this process to me and for me, is why my perception is not shared. And equally perplexing to me is how if you're Rosie O'Donnell or Bette Midler, you could come to the exact opposite conclusion, that it's the end of the world as we know it if Trump gets a second term. He will destroy this country. We'll never be the same again. And the whole human race. And this is the rhetoric we're getting. Like, if you take the time to read those essays on foreign affairs, folks, and I recommend you do read. Don't get all your information listening to people like Monty and I hamming up on the radio. Do some background reading. But this is the tone of the office of the president-elect. This is the tone, like, folks. It's grievous, it's been like harm has been done. We're here. We have the iodine. We're going to get that sliver out. Just don't move. It could get infected.
Yeah, it's been like that for 4 years. I remember the same rhetoric coming out, like, oh, Trump's won the election, we're going to go to nuclear war in the next 4 years. And it's like this, in the whole thing of, like, he's against LBGQAC, whatever the gay community, ladies and gentlemen, basically.
Yeah.
Trans rights. Well, are you human? Yes. I think you're pretty covered then. That's part of the left is we want unity, so we're going to label everybody and separate them. I'm sorry, what? That doesn't make sense. I've gone into Parler just in case Twitter goes down because people leave it. Like, if Donald Trump leaves Twitter, they'll probably lose about 50% of their traffic because it's like, well, this is crap, and they'll move to Parler. And CNN have actually said, like, Parler is a threat to democracy. It's like, no, it's a threat to your reality because you're basing it on lies. But Milo, I have no idea how to say his last name. I do apologize. Yiannopoulos, you know that chap that he's married to a black man, but he's called a racist. I'm like, okay. He shared an article that I think he liked this. One of the top priests that does exorcisms has actually said he can see a lot of demonic behavior in the left. And Milo just gone, duh. And that's what we're sort of seeing. It's like, and going back to what you're saying, where how can these people have different perceptions? There's an element of fear of being woken up from the false reality, and usually that could, from the subconscious, be transferred into the conscious through anger. There, everyone listening, you've gone through your awakening. Because I work with Andrew Bartz, so most people aren't awake. You're just awoken to that the false reality sucks. There is you're a multidimensional being, and yet they try and control us in the third dimension. It's like, yeah, you haven't really awoken. But excuse me, that element of fear, and it's like my timeline, there were 7 stages of grief. Apparently, due to budget cutbacks, they're down to 5. But, there's shock, fear, and then anger, and eventually there's acceptance and, all that timeline. But a lot of people, they hate Trump because he exists. And so there's anger, and there's an element of, like, well, we're being lied to, where, I'm going to use the language.
But
when
he is.
When Trump wins the election, they will actually say, oh, it's a coup and he stole the election. Yeah, he did it legally. How can you steal an election legally? You know what I mean? There's that cognitive dissonance in that sentence. Steal and legally. These people want to change the Constitution because they're not winning. They're like, no offense to four-year-olds, but they're 4-year-olds having a tantrum in the sandpit because their best friend won't give them their G.I. Joe. It's like, no, it's my story, and I want that one. But the bell's ringing. We have to go inside the club. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Total cognitive dissonance, man. And maybe this is what happens when people go crazy, is they create, or their consciousness manifests a conflict, and maybe getting punched in the face, it realigns you somehow, Monty. And oh man, was I ever out of balance there? I should not have gone to an all soy diet. And what am I going to do with these breasts? Getting punched in the face is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Metaphorically cool. I just want to very quickly once again praise Alex Jones for coming up with the best website title of InfoWars. And that's what we're seeing. It's the information war is ramping up. Alex Jones was on Tim Pool. I would recommend to go watch it, but YouTube pulled the 3 hours and 40 minute episode because of 1 second of footage.
Yeah. And go ahead, sorry.
Oh, it's they're ramping it up because like the whole thing of like here in Australia, this is a good thing about being outsiders. So if we come across as a bit cruel to our American friends, yeah, we're from the Commonwealth. We're like that. We do it with love.
Yep.
When Biden was announced, the language was Joe Biden is projected to win the election. And then 3 seconds later, they dropped projected. And it's like, no, it's won. And they're pushing this narrative. And they fought, and, the way that the left is like, oh, Trump's being a sook and he's throwing his toys out of the pram and everything else like that. It's like, no, that sounds like the left losing 4 years ago. Babylon B, if you do need a bit of comedy in this chaos circus, they actually did a well, it's not a fake, they put out an article, but it's a parody site, so it's not true. But that they're like the Onion, they're very good at it. But they said After the day after the election, 60 million conservatives got up, went out into the streets and drove to their work and continued working, compared to the left, mm-hmm. who would have burnt everything down. And that's sort of the difference as well, where a lot of conservatives, if Joe Biden actually won legally, they wouldn't be happy about it, but they would accept the results. Now, if you flip it, if Trump won with a landslide and there wasn't any chicanery, which is there's baseless evidence. Yes, there is. You won't go into it. I was watching the election. I was watching Stephen Crowder's election broadcast. And Trump was winning in all these states. They stopped counting because they were tired. I'm like, oh, hang on, something's up. And then an hour and a half later, oh, look at all these ballots that we found, all for Biden. And it's the exact number to push in closer. And like, even that enough. He's like, well, that sounds suspicious. We should look into this. Oh, baseless accusations. Well, I put it to you, my lefty friends. Well, the insane left. There are lefty people that are going, no, the numbers. There are people with critical thinking going, the numbers don't add up. But the question that keeps coming up, okay, I've been seeing on social media is like, if there is no illegality or propriety, you know, if there's nothing criminal going on, yes, that's it. If there's nothing criminal going on, then allow the investigation to go through and find nothing. And that's sort of a red flag. It's like, well, if he won it fair and square, why do you want to stop the investigation? They'll find nothing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to love that, man. You know, it's but I see this as the ending of a story now. Like, I'm not even like worried about this anymore. You know, it's just it's done. I think that this is all like in hand, so to speak. That. The narrative is well in hand. And the only thing, Monty, is, look, I want to make sure that we get, you know, a real disclosure, or at least as much as they believe the public can handle, which should be more than enough for us to satisfy our relatives and friends and say, look, you know, we told you this was going on. And, you know, how could you be so opaque not as to, one, not see it, and two, you know, not feel it, I guess, see it or feel it. But that should be forthcoming. I mean, it should be forthcoming in 2021. And I think it's going to be pretty overwhelming. Like, I think even the most diehard liberal or Democrat in the United States is going to look at the material and go, wow. You know,
well, just the actions of the Biden administration. Like, in less than 3 months, it's like, this is not what we voted for.
President-elect Biden?
Yes, that's the one, yeah. Not Hunter. Hunter's special. Would you like to hear very quickly, because I did a show with Andrew Bartzis, the Galactic Historian, on Thursday, your time. The energies that...
You just said the day, no actual time, like Thursday, your time, like you're in another, like on the other side of a black hole or something. Thursday, it's your time.
Yeah, not well, yeah.
Thursday, it's noon, your time. Thursday.
Yeah, well, it is Sunday afternoon here. Hello from the future. but he put forward, he usually gets me on for a chat for about 10, 20 minutes just to bring some levity to the show, because he has call-in shows and people are going through intense healing and everything else like that. So to try and bring everyone's spirits back up, because if it's deep intense, it's like, oh, let's bring the clown on. Hello, everyone. We went for an hour. But he was explaining that the global narrative, it looks like what they're going to do is the election night was like the cliffhanger of season two. And the writers suck. And that's why there was like a fizzle and like, oh, nothing happened. And so in a certain timeline, this season three, what we're in, what they want to do is they'll skip to season four in January or March. And they'll sort of have, you know, when you have that the recap at the start of a season three will be just a recap. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that, because they went too far, because they could drag out this whole election stuff for another year because of Yeah, but yeah, I don't think that the global narrative, the farmers of the energy farm, they want to sort of nip it in the bud and go down and continue on, because it's, if you think about it from the perspective of the planet is a farm, this is not denigrating to anybody. You can still live on the planet and, you know, taint the louche, if you want to say, where you can still have a fantastic life and not fall for all their chicanery. They have Biden cheat, and Trump actually goes, no, stop that, that's wrong. And you have all this energy, like, did you see all of the celebrations where they thought that Hitler, you know, it was the end of World War II again? Hitler's been defeated. And like, you people are idiots. And so you have Trump actually become the president in about a month, and the energy and hatred from the insane left would just peak. And yeah, I mean, you're on a farm, you know how the, you know, you need a yield from your stock. And like, how much energy you get just from everyone, you know, Trump wins and half the country loses their collective mind because they can't deal with their reality. And so, and then of course the media will spin it as Trump stole the election, even though it was through legal means. So that's just after that rant, just stay in the now and watch. Cause like, I can see if it goes to Biden, it won't end in thermal or nuclear war, because from a political point of view, even though the whole system is corrupt, Republicans have gained everywhere, the House, you know, Congress and the Senate. And yet, you know, so if Biden gets in, he'll have a massive uphill battle to try and do anything because of the Republicans blocking most of his stuff, because it's like, no, you're insane. That is if Biden stays as president.
I don't know a lot about those numbers. What happened there?
I think they kept the Senate, and in Congress they I'm going to get the number wrong, but they made gains in the Congress. And so
do they own the Congress?
No, Democrats are still in charge. They've got the majority, but it's weakened. And so at the moment, Pelosi will still be in charge, but there's an I saw somewhere that they may try and get rid of her because she's insane drunk. And she does look like, you know, she acted for a while. She's actually, if you remember the Raiders of the Lost Ark, she was one of the Nazis. Yeah, she was one of the Nazis melting in the background at the end of the film. That's her.
So tell us a little bit about Australia now. Like, how long the Uber, the sort of like super lockdown, super max is done. They found the kitchen knife and you're allowed in the range for your meals now, right? Like, what's going on there?
Well, there's an element of post-traumatic stress disorder, where after, I think, not consecutively, there was, I think, maybe 4 or 5 weeks of lesser lockdown. But Victoria, especially Melbourne, we've been in lockdown for 200 days this year, nearly two-thirds of the year. It wasn't all in one go. There was a breather in the middle. And I think people are just, they're happy to leave the house and spend money and start doing things, and they're in a way accepting the COVID normal. We still have to wear masks, even though we're, I think, 14 or 15 days of double donuts. It's like, comedians should not go into journalism, which just means there's no cases, no deaths. That's where you get the double donuts thing. Right. But we may be wearing masks until February or March next year. And like, well, why? And there's that split narrative where the Premier Andrews is doing the best job he's had, and I stand with Dan. And then you have the flip side of like, he's a Chinese operative and he should be in jail for crimes against humanity. So that's sort of the division. We still have lockdown protests going on, anti-lockdown protests. Well, that doesn't make sense. It should be a lockdown protest.
So what happened to that pregnant woman they hauled out of her home for a Facebook post?
No, that just disappeared. They probably just, in a way, kicked the can down where I don't know if she's actually gone to court for anything else like that. There are the conspiracy world. What a wonderful place to visit. Don't live here. It's just a nice place to visit, but don't live here. That's totally fake. That was it's like, well, okay, even if it's fake, it worked against them, because even on a tourism dollar, how many people saw that and gone, I'm not going there? You know what I mean? There's too many people diving in and, you know, everything's fake. It's like, not really, because if everything's fake, maybe saying that statement is fake. You know, you need to create a reality that is based on logic and facts.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't believe that everything, the people dive into Q and QAnon, and now there's mm-hmm. a massive backlash and stuff like that. Because I've been doing this for a while. Like, I can't stand people who keep saying dates. On the 21st of December this year, there'll be a solar flash and we're all going to 5D. Uh-huh. That's like the 18th time of, that's the 18th time I've heard this.
Oh, man. Are we not in the most extraordinary age of narrative right now? Yeah. You know, like what people are saying and, you know, what's really going on. Hey, one of us should probably say something about generating funds at the station. We should do a bump here before 30 seconds. I nominate you, Monty.
You are listening to Revolution Radio. This is, what's the show called again? Because he's changed, DEFCON 1? Or the
Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Yeah, Jeff Wayne, his brother, the clone.
Yeah.
John Wayne, not the actor.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed the last hour, please go to freedomslips.com and or revolution.radio and donate what you can. We're 100% listener supported, so thank you for all your help. By helping us pay the bills, stay online, we can continue sharing this information until they come for us, which they won't, because there's that element of martyrdom. If, like Alex Jones has been saying for years, that big tech are trying to censor people, so big tech censors him. Like, well done, you people are idiots. And now he's bigger. He's on bannedvideo.com or whatever it is, and he's getting more traction because they just the big tech proved what he said about them, and this it's part of that part of the waking up. I think when people say now, "Oh, we're waking up," it's corruption to the system, and that's mainly what it is. And you're seeing with the left where, like, one of the leaders of BLM said, "Like, we need to talk to Biden because we need something for our votes." And yeah, apparently his administration should go Black Lives Matter centric all the way through. I think just by their actions, people wake up because I saw it in the debates. Biden would flip flop in a paragraph. No, we don't. You know, lockdowns are bad, and I won't have a lockdown. And then, you know, two sentences later, we'll be locking down the country for COVID. And it's like, how many people thought Biden won the debates? It's like, well, which Biden? The one that he said, you ain't black. Do we have a break? I think, you know, or does have
are
they
we,
got
rid- are we talking over it? Is the server still connected?
Yeah, the server's connected, but there's no white circle around it because I can see.
JW don't get no break.
Well, I mean, if he's ranting and he's on a roll, you don't want to. I've seen a photo of him. You don't want to interrupt him. He's a big softy bear to get him cranky.
Yeah. He's got those dead eyes, right? Like no distinction between iris and pupil. You know, like a mole. Yeah.
He looks good in the heart. He's a gentle giant, and you don't want to wake him up. You know, so like in how the Japanese did in Pearl Harbor type thing. We have a sleeping a giant. Yeah, and then you find out that the president allowed it to happen so they could get into the war. War's a racket, people. And that's the other thing that the Biden administration is like, we'll roll back all the achievements of Trump and we'll interact with the Middle East, which basically means is code of we'll carpet bomb most of it. That's the one thing about Trump. He never started a war. I mean, he probably continued on. Did you see that there was an article, I think it was on RT, the main guy that was in charge of Syria, he lied to the president about getting troops out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. It's like, this is, and the false narrative that the media puts forward is that Trump, evil bad man. And so some people probably think that analyst or general is a hero because he got one over from Trump. And it's, this is the level of reality is where they're disrespecting the office of the presidency.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think, again, you know, carrying on this emperor has no clothes theme. I don't think they've quite digested the damage they've done to the collective psyche through the disrespect they've demonstrated for the office over the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've factored in how that is going to swing back and bite them in the ass.
Well, yeah, like, why should we respect Joe Biden? Because he's the president. Well, we'll just, that's the other thing. We call for unity. You've been attacking everyone for 4 years. You know, and it's that cognitive dissonance where, you know, for 4 years, the Russians meddled with the election process. And this one, oh, no, the elections are fine. Nothing happened. Look the other way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I need a break, so maybe I'll just play some music here or something, and we'll take it from there, buddy. What do you think?
Yep, I have to go to the smallest room in the house and have relief. So yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, so we'll be back in a few minutes, folks. We got some music coming on for you here. Actually, we'll take it from there. don't you like there, ladies and gentlemen? Let Down by Radiohead from the 1997 album OK Computer. And that's my dog doing his thing there on the front porch. I don't know what's got him barking, but that's his job. It's to bark at stuff, right? I live in the middle of nowhere.
He can see a tree.
No. Usually a couple senses have to key in before they start barking. It's like smell, sound, motion. It's quite something, right? Like I've been out on the front patio at like 2 a.m, you know, just smoking a cigar, and you hear a sound over on the other side of the church. And I live in the rainforest, man. I mean, it could be anything, right? And boom, he just darts off into the darkness and comes back 10 minutes later. Does these perimeter searches, right? Like if he hears a noise or something. I just can only imagine how terrifying it would be to come upon that dog in the middle of the night if you were like, you know, just creeping around the mountain looking for a house to rob or something. It would be, you know, quite terrifying. That's what he does. He's all over the place. And then he keeps the horses out because there's, you know, horses all over the place up here. And, you know, they're supposed to stay on, you know, the farm of the person who owns the horse, but they kind of wander sometimes. And they get in here and they like to eat my banana plants. They love banana leaves. So it's a bit of a pain in the ass, Monty.
Ah, third world problems. I kid. I'm totally urban. So if there's horses roaming around, it's a novelty.
I think this whole first, second, and third world thing is going to be part of the inversion in the near future. And the people squatting on some land with some fruit trees and some chickens and, you know, 60-70% of their diet on their land, ergo the peasant life, I think that's going to be the new rich within a decade.
Well, I did see the idea that's being put forward that, like, you know, all these third world countries, they're poor. No, the people are poor. The countries are very rich. And that's why the corporations are there and stealing all the minerals and all the stuff like that. And just, I mean, obviously, it's one of those moments where as a comedian where you make connections like, why didn't I think of that? And it makes sense. It's like the people are poor because they're being crushed by bureaucracy and corporation. But Africa is a very rich continent. It's just the people aren't benefiting from it. It's you know, hearing stuff like that and like everything we've talked about. Do you remember seeing the movie Aeroplane?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was called Leslie Nielsen. Billy, do you like movies with gladiators in them?
Yeah. Now that movie would not be made today because people would freak out. That's the first thing. The second thing Well, especially just that one. It's like, is he a pedophile? Is he hitting onto the 8-year-old? One example. I mean,
they do, but you know, I was just watching some Netflix today and I was watching Vacation, kind of like the reboot of the National Lampoon thing, and it's Chevy Chase's son. Yeah, have you seen it?
Well, I haven't seen the latest one.
Yeah, they do pedo bits in that, and then they...
Because the lefty Hollywood think it's edgy and funny, but anyway. But why I bring up Aeroplane is I feel like Lloyd Bridges' character, the head guy at the tower in Chicago, where it seems to be it seems like it's the wrong week to give up glue sniffing. you're watching all this stuff like, I don't think you'll be giving up alcohol today.
Let's cobble this show back together. What are we talking about? Like, do we have any kind of a theme tonight? Like, is there Ollie income free? Is there a touchstone? Is there a safe zone here?
Basically, the corruption is trying to control the narrative because Orange Man bad, and they're trying to take control. Like the whole unity thing. If you noticed. Through, like, say, the last four decades, When the Republicans in, it's chaos and evil and death. But when the Democrats are in, everything's fine and peachy. Like, and that's the whole thing. We're calling for unity after 4 years of being abused. It's like, really? And what? That everything's so transparent. Like the Me in MAGA march thing that happened today. Yeah, time differences. Exactly. And yeah, just the violence. And of course, the media is portraying as, oh, there's been clash. You know, the Proud Boys are there and there's been clashes. And it's, yeah, all the footage of these innocent people being sucker punched and stolen and everything else like that. And that's supposed to be the Peace, Love, and Mung Beans party. And of course, will Biden come out and denounce, is that the right word, the violence of his supporters? Because they've been asking Trump for the last 4 years to condone white supremacy. And there's a video of him saying it 12 yeah. to 20 times. But what about now? What about now? What about now? And the whole yeah. thing, and one massive clue of, you know, something's up is Biden is still pushing that Trump is a racist because he said there is fine people on both sides. And then you see the actual footage, which is taken out of context. If you look at the footage, 10 seconds before he says that, he denounced it. Now, I'm not talking – I can't do a Trump impression. It's been 4 years. You think I should? Okay, no. I just can't do it. He says, you know, I'm not talking about the white supremacists and the Nazis. They should be condoned. But there were people on both sides. He was praising the sane people, where people wanted to get rid of the statue, and there was people that wanted to keep the statue, and they're just your average Americans, and it's not a geography. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be average, you could be awesome at the same time. However, the media's just taken that quote out, and so Trump's a racist. I still haven't seen any evidence that Trump is a racist. I mean, there's a photo of him winning an award standing next to Rosa Parks. Once again, he's mm-hmm. the worst racist in history.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. And it's like idea of repetition, right? It's like in phase one of MK Ultra, they called it psychic driving, right? They put a blindfold on you, they dope you up on LSD, and then they put headphones on your head, and they put you in a straitjacket, and you got to listen to some expression over and over again. This can go on for weeks. They call it psychic driving, right? But they learned a lot about, you know, how the human mind works. And apparently, if you just keep repeating something, and you have been titled somehow. And titling is a very interesting thing, Monty. It allows people to speak with authority. And, you know, one of the things that's going on now with the collapse of institutions, and Trump is doing his job, he's imploding these institutions, is their titles are being revoked. You know, so their ability to say something and be taken seriously is being taken away. Everything they're trying to do to Trump is going to be done to them. It's all, I know you are, but what am I? You know, is kind of that, you know, kids refrain in the school ground.
It's a twisted way of the art of war. Accuse your enemies of what you're doing.
Yes. Yeah. Keep repeating it, right? Yeah. So, you know, I couldn't agree with it more. Here's a post just from yesterday, just popped up on my Facebook feed. It's from Donald J. Trump official Facebook account. 700,000 ballots were not allowed to be viewed in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, which means, based on our great Constitution, we win the state of Pennsylvania. Right underneath it is the Facebook logo and a little pop-out box. The U.S. has laws, procedures, and established institutions to ensure the integrity of our election. See election results. And then you click right on that, and you go to the election results. Projected presidential winner, Joe Biden, Democrat. So, I mean, Facebook is calling the election. And not only have they called it, they're giving you dopamine-reinforced punishment for contradicting them. Mm-hmm. Mind-boggling.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is, I'm not going to start attacking people, but if I realized now, instead of going out and going, like, say, family members, it's like, oh, Drum's an idiot. Oh, well, you're blah, 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 blah. If anyone, I'm going to wait for a question from now. I'm like, well, what do you think? And then explain stuff. I don't want the conflict, but also it's playing into the energy. That's what, you know, the global narrative wants. They want that, the drama and the energy and the anger, and they feed off it in that respect. And yeah. So I'll just basically, you know, what do you think about Premier Andrews in Victoria? I think he's a traitor to humanity and should be in jail. And if they get angry, that's, well, you did ask. I'm not going to go around door knocking and hand out pamphlets. I'm not that. I'm not doing it that way. I'm a passive anarchist, if I can say it that way.
Yeah, that about sums it up. Well, so you don't
need that grief. And also, if people have made up their mind, the election wasn't against Joe Biden and Donald Trump. It was between Donald Trump and not Donald Trump because of the narrative where there are people that still maintain that he's a Russian asset. It's like, well, where was Russia in this election? Why did, you know, it's so ridiculous. And when I realized, we're day 12 now of the election, it just won't stop. When Trump was going to take the talks, like, okay, because we're old enough, you know, we've been on the planet for a couple of decades or more, and we know elections, and it doesn't feel right. Like, I would see the projected map and, like, that seems to be wrong. Because it did look like Trump was winning by length. Now, he press conference that I actually aired on Planet Collingwood Wednesdays at 2 a.m. if you want to be awake at that. If not, just go to my YouTube channel, Wafer Thin Entertainment. I put up all the shows on that so you can – and there's archives here at the station as well. So if you want to listen, you can at your leisure. President Trump, I've got to remember to show the respect to the office. Unfortunately, he said, oh, we won. Now, people say, oh, he lied. Yeah. Like he came to a conclusion. He should have said, we were winning, and then they stepped in because they were losing, because that's what it looked like. Trump was leading everywhere. It was going to be a red tsunami, and basically a landslide. They stopped counting. The ballot fairy turned up, and all these ballots, you know, an hour and a half later, they basically had to figure out how many votes they needed to have Joe win. And then an hour and a half later, they started counting at 4 a.m. in the morning. So, like, weren't you people tired? And that's when that was that massive push, because it doesn't feel right. With elections, you know, I'm going into, like, the universe is energy based. You could see a theme, and there's rigging, basically, because if you watch, you know, all elections, it's a tight race and it's flip-flopping and we don't know, or, you know, one's winning and one's losing badly. This one was, you know, I go into A and B. I try and take the personalities out, because people are, if you say Trump, they've made a decision in their brain and, oh, we hate that guy. But if you look at the election, because it's not really about Donald Trump, it's really about the electoral process in the United States, which is basically, as Razorfist said, the YouTuber, that was the non-lethal weapon that conservatives or the right had left, is, well, we'll vote and we'll put a stop to this. But they've fiddled with the outcome. And if you take away the integrity of the elections, what does America, because it's a constitutional republic that uses democracy. People say it's a democracy. It's like, not really. It was a republic with a constitution. And so you have that integrity and trust gone from the elections. America, really, it's just another banana republic, pardon my French, shithole.
Yeah.
Oh, hello.
Wally, how are you?
My birthday brother. How are you, sir?
Good, good, good. Just thought I'd bring you in. I knew you were listening because you texted me. I wonder if you had anything for us that would relate specifically to Michigan.
Evening or afternoon, Monty. I guess it's Sunday afternoon there.
Yep.
Good evening, Bruce.
Good evening.
No, you know, it's just, it's real strange. Everything has changed here in Michigan with the lockdown. In fact, tonight, I live up in the woods, kind of not as nice as you do, Bruce, but I guess I got to say, for where I'm at, where I grew up, I think I have it as nice as you do there.
But, Michigan is gorgeous. Gorgeous. I would live off grid or in the country in Michigan for sure.
Well, I'm not off the grid, but I am out in the woods on a river, beautiful trout stream.
Nice.
And I thank God for the blessings I've gotten. I've been here almost 25 years. In fact, it'll be 25 years here real shortly. It's expensive, but yeah.
Rural Michigan is expensive?
Well, when you're up in the woods, on a river, you know, on water, they tax you pretty good for it.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit more than they should for what we have to take care of. You know, this river, it's the south branch of the Pierre Marquette that I'm on. It's probably one of the finest trout streams in the state of Michigan. It's kind of the river doesn't have a lot of public accesses. So very limited, no commercial, no drift boats, no kayak, you know, commercial kayak or canoes. So there's not a lot of pressure on the river. So it is a very nice river. But with this pandemic, and it's kind of interesting because I just read an article on the CEO of Pfizer or president of Pfizer when they released, you know, 90% effective. Why did he sell, I think it was somewhere between 60, 65, 75% of his stock in Pfizer? That sounds a little suspicious there, doesn't it?
It does. It absolutely does. And look, I'm not thrilled with a 90% success rate because, I mean, and first of all, how are they defining success? And exactly. why is 1 out of 10 being unaffected by the vaccine? That is a large demographic, right?
Yes. Up where I'm at, it's kind of vacation. You know, people have their cabins, their second homes up on the lakes here and in the woods. I'm in the Manistee National Forest. And, you know, with this, I can't call it a virus because it's not a virus. It's something else. You know, they're calling it a virus, you know, making us wear masks that rob our oxygen, make us rebreathe carbon dioxide. So we know the masks aren't the situation because people are still getting sick with masks on. In fact, there's a lot of pneumonia cases with masks on, and especially now we're into our winter season where the times have changed quite a bit. You know, right. the temperatures have changed, excuse me.
So what is the governor of Michigan saying as it pertains to coronavirus? And I'm going to say it's probably very similar to what the Premier of Ontario is saying, which is they're going to have to go into a major lockdown now. Major, major lockdown. Like, Monty went through it first, right? Because Australia went through its winter first. So Canada's going into winter now, and so is Michigan. So this is, I think, part of the whole prevention narrative, right? Is that there's less sun and, you know, there's a higher probability of contracting the virus in the cold weather, I guess, is what they're trying to say. But so Ontario is getting ready for a big lockdown. What about Michigan?
Well, I really think Whitmer, excuse me, Whitmer, she is our governor. Now, we have to respect the office, but God, it's the wrong person in there. She's trying to push restaurants and bars. They're requiring, if you sit in the restaurant, they're requiring the establishment to take your name and phone number. For what reason? I have no idea other than...
Sorry to interrupt. Been there, done that. It's contact tracing. So if someone turns up that has COVID, they can actually go through the records and ring everyone saying you were at the same place at the same time. So the premise that they're putting forward, it's for contact tracing to try and rein in the pandemic. Now, that's the mainstream media, but it also can be used like the secret police type thing.
That's pretty much a lot of the bars, at least we've got a little local bar here. And it's quite a nice bar. And what they're doing is they're having a raffle. You know, in fact, they're not even taking it. I shouldn't say that. Some might be listening, but tonight was kind of unusual. Didn't see a lot of locals up at their cabins this weekend or in the bar, but I've seen a lot of strangers. Of course, our deer hunting season opens at midnight tonight. Well, daybreak tomorrow. It's usually a big event up here. We're in northern Michigan. The racks, unless you find an old deer, are small racks. You go to the southern part of the state, that's corn country. Those are big racks. But I noticed that this hunting season, I was in the bar talking with Jill, the owner's daughter. And because I always stop in, hey, you need a hand? When they get busy, I'll bartend or wait tables or whatever. I'm not afraid of the virus, and I will not wear a mask. And she doesn't... everybody, you know, people, not everybody, but a lot of people walk in with masks on. But, you know, that has changed a lot of things. I think a lot of locals, from what I heard tonight when I was talking with Jill, is they weren't coming in because of all the out-of-towners that came in, which I don't blame them. Because any of the plandemic up here has been, you know, someone brought it in. I knew one person that had it. He doesn't know if it was it, but he says he's never had a cold or flu like this one before. So, but him and his wife came out just fine. They say the hospitals are overcrowded, but I haven't seen. I took cancer patients to and from two different hospitals, and throughout this whole pandemic, I never seen one hospital full or any sick. So
yeah, you all those nurses dancing on TikTok. It's like, shouldn't you be saving people's lives? I just had a thought. It'll come back to me.
Why are you thinking? Go ahead.
I've lost it.
Well, take a couple more minutes. The other thing is last week, about the middle of the week, sometime around Wednesday, I was having real hard time breathing. And I smoke cigarettes. I smoke the American Spirits, which is Native American brand, which has less chemicals. I don't think they have any chemicals in them. And I didn't even smoke maybe about 4 cigarettes. It was, they sprayed something or they let something go. I've had 4 people say something that it was something that happened, whether we got dumped with a spray or something. One buddy of mine went to the hospital yesterday morning, early in the morning. He was just afraid of pneumonia. And they ran the swab up his nose. Very painful. Not understanding why they run the swab, because if we could, they say we could catch it by the water droplets or a sneeze, that tells me they could do a test with just your saliva. But he said that was very painful. He said the doctor kind of said, you know, hey, this is a bad flu. We don't know what it is, but we're not getting a lot of deaths, anything than we normally would. But he kind of led it to believe that this thing is a control issue and not a health issue. So But don't know. I come from a medical family. You can't catch a virus. You can catch a bacteria that could turn into a virus. But you can't catch one unless you're close DNA. So, you know, being a medical responder, we've not responded to any, you know, dispatch will tell us, you know, PPEs. But really have not had any. Of course, we've had no heart attacks or strokes. That's kind of unusual. Since
I remember my thought. Thank you. Because there was an article on RT saying that scientists are baffled that influenza has disappeared this year. That actually is a gen. That it sounds like that's the other part about reality, Bruce. Is you don't know what's parody or satire anymore. Because, like, so, yeah, oh, that's funny. No, he means it. What? Like, just half the stuff that is being pumped out, it's, especially, like, say, on Twitter or something like that, the temptation of writing, is this a parody account, is getting greater and greater because you can see that something's happening, basically, where the narrative is, like, have you noticed it's always about cases and not about deaths? And of, you know, people blame Trump for 200,000 deaths. It's his fault. Like, no, that, yeah, there's a separation between federal and state governors. Like, how can you blame Trump on New York, where Cuomo is Satan, basically? How many deaths happened last year? Like, this is one way of exposing the medical system, because we're doing lockdowns because we don't want the hospitals to be overrun. Because why? The health system sucks. Is that what you're saying? Because you haven't prepared for this. How many? I think there's probably 83 deaths different from last year than this year. I could be wrong with the number, but the deaths are roughly the same, and they're just blaming everything on COVID. Now that's the thing as well, where a bit of fiddling of the numbers. If you, yeah, did you die from COVID or did you die with COVID?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, because a lot of people have, like, they figured out they've had the COVID or the strain of this flu in September before it was made sort of public. What, October is when it kicked off in Wuhan, the narrative of it all. And there's a lot of people where they were really sick and. I mean, there's joking, like, I need the government to tell me, I have to go get tested to find out if I'm sick. And that's the only way people find out they have COVID, is because they've been tested. And they always go with the amount of cases. There are people dying, but it's all about immune system. Has anyone in the mainstream started talking about diet, vitamin C, having supplement, good supplements, getting exercise, and vitamin D and getting the sun? You've never seen all that, any of that. Well, it's been a while. That's the other thing that's going on as well, because it's been a year on the planet using the news narrative. We're learning from. That's where people are waking up as well. It's like we're going to lockdown, yeah, because it worked so well everywhere else. And Victoria's being praised. It's like, well, yeah, okay, 800 people died because of a security problem at a quarantine hotel, which is the government's fault, but you're praising the government at the same time. Well done. Where is the heart attacks, the strokes, influenza, flu? Like, apparently only 62 people have died from the flu, and there's hundreds of thousands of COVID. Like, I wonder if someone's got something wrong here. And it slipped away again. You can see the corruption just in the medical system is basically where I'm getting at.
You know, and they have a fiduciary, doctors and nurses. Do they really? You know, if they did, they would be telling people, don't worry about this.
Yeah, I shared a tweet. It's a cartoon with a memory bubble, you know, a thought bubble. And it's like, what's the point of going on? I mean, we've only got a 99.94 survival rate. And it's been sarcastic, but it's like, the flu actually kills more than what they're saying about COVID. And I did watch the Alex Jones, Tim Pool stuff. I can't remember the other chap's name. He was awesome. Michael someone, I think. And when you say COVID hoax or plandemic, there is a virus. It's less lethal than just the normal flu, but the response that the governments and the medical idiots, it is completely blown out of proportion. Where the way I sort of see it is like, I mean, the theory of the globalists have released a bioweapon to do all this stuff, shut down the economy and depopulate. And I'm sure that was probably one of their plans, but the prime creator or God or source or flying spaghetti monster, whatever you want to call it, has just flicked the virus out early going, bink, deal with it now, bitches. And that's what it's too early. And that's why they're all freaked out, because they're misfooted, or, you know, they were caught off guard. And you can see the freak out, because our premier in the first week of April, oh, don't wear masks. There's no point unless you're sick. And then now, today, still, it's $200 fine if you're not wearing a mask.
Yeah. Yeah. Wally, do you agree with this idea that it's either crush America, like if Biden stays in office, we're kind of going probably all by executive order because he won't have the Senate or the House of Representatives, but... do you think we're going back into this crush the American economy mentality in America?
Sure does sound like it. I mean, just listening to some of the late nights, they kept me awake. There's a lot of scenarios, and I do believe this is a hostile takeover of a corporation.
Yeah. It's interesting to me how they... the Democratic platform is to increase liability from an accounting perspective, increase liability. So openly talk about paying reparations for slavery in the United States and, you know, these unbelievably creepy Green New Deal things, which crept up in Canada 5 or 6 years ago through our Socialist Party. And, you know, all of these sorts of things, and, you know, so they increase our liability and at the same time kill productivity, which would be the only way to cover the liability, to pay your credit card bills.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, it's like, clearly, if you're looking at this, the agenda, the economic plan of the Democratic Party, the Joe Biden globalist Democratic Party, is nothing short of the destruction of the United States economy through increasing liability and diminishing productivity. It's a recipe for disaster. They're basically creating a ghetto.
Well, I mean, it comes across as, in a basic way, of like, how are you going to deal with the environment? We're going to tax everything. Are you a halfwit? How can you tax? Oh, there's greenhouse gases and CO2. Like, we'll build better power stations. They're all 35 years old or more, and they've got a lifespan of 30 years. You can, you know, have scrubbers and, you know, all this type of stuff. China has built how many coal fire plants over the last 5 years and everything else? You know, that's all that accounting stuff of like carbon credits. And, well, instead of actually not producing pollution, we'll just buy credits from Bolivia or something else like that, and so we can continue on. Like, really? And also, what happens when a volcano pump pops off and pumps 2 years' worth of human CO2 into the sky in a day and a half? Do we tax the mountain? You know, this is the problem.
Yeah.
Like, we need better environmental. It's finding a balance and stop polluting. But their answer is, we'll tax everything. Well, where does the money go and why? You know, we're giving $4 billion to stop climate change. You're not God. Like, the earth has been hotter in the last 2,000 years than now, and yet they're still ramping it. You know, oh, that's the thing about, like, it's the apocalypse, it's the end of times, and the world is going to be destroyed. Yeah, it's their false, crappy reality of the cabal, their world. They're losing control, and the humanity will be freed eventually. And so that's why they're pushing that narrative, like, you know, we have to save the planet how it is. It's like, yeah, but the planet now sucks because we're, you know, run by psychopaths. and you know, we're ruled by psychopaths and run by idiots.
Yes. Yeah. David Icke's line. I totally agree, yep. Man. Totally agree. Well, we can only hope that you go ahead, Wally.
Well, what I was going to say, there's nothing we can do to this earth to destroy it other than possibly nuclear bombs. You know, mm-hmm. the emissions that we give off with enough trees, plant life, we're not going to run out of oxygen. I don't think we can overtax this planet.
No, not in the earth, she can take care of herself
because we're not the first rodeo here.
It's been said that, you know, the earth's fine. If there was a problem, she'll just all pole shift and we'll be all washed away with 17 tsunamis. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, it's like the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. The ocean spews that much oil daily. The problem was it got to shore. If it wouldn't have got to shore, there'd have been no problem with it. Because the oceans take care of that type of thing on a daily basis, and that amount, probably 10 times that amount throughout the world, you know, waterways.
And what made it worse is the cleanup because of the chemicals. That's what the actual damage was. Is
exactly.
Corporate man tried to fix it, and they just made things worse because, you know, they're putting cyanide and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, but you still be screamed, we have to save the planet. The planet has 12 years before where it's the point of no return. And in, if you look into the science of it, and they've been saying this in the 70s to the early 80s till they flipped. It most likely, if you're looking at the patterns of the planet, we'd probably be going into a form of an ice age. So, you know, all this global warming would be helping us.
Exactly.
And yet, yeah. And exactly. Oh, that's one thing, just to add to that as well. Remember when Joe Biden said we're going into a dark winter? And most people just go, what the hell does that mean? And he means like a nuclear, not a nuclear winter. But it's lockdowns and, you know, right. Communist Russia and everything else like that. But he just slipped it in. And it's like, well, unless you create it, why did you say that?
It's exactly true. You know, just like he said, the election was a fraud. I mean, Kim Reynolds said it. People pay attention? No, not really. In fact, it was just a video I seen with Trump spilling the beans on the elite. Has anybody seen that? It was back in June when it was first put out, but it was kept off the internet for a long time. Have either one of you seen the speech? It's in black and white.
No, I haven't seen that. I do remember Biden basically doing a faux pas. Was that we have the strongest voter fraud organization ever created. I'm like,
right.
Oh, Joe.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
I thought, man, if people don't pay attention to this, I don't know what's up with that.
Even if it's completely fake and there's no such thing, do you really want that type of person? You know, if he can't even speak correctly, who wants to give him the nuclear football codes? He doesn't know where he is. It's that level of like. It started out funny, and then 6 minutes later, it got to tragic. It's like, why isn't anyone in his family saying no enough and make him retire and go to a ranch in Montana or something? It was
You don't mind. It's funny you say that because is this the real Biden? I mean, were you saying something about this, Bruce, about him not being able to spit three words out? And were you saying that on the show?
No, I don't think so. Not today, anyways.
But is this the real Biden? You know, the well aware
Here's my answer to that question. How does it serve us to even ask that question? I mean, it's so remote that, you know, It doesn't matter in the end. It's the reality we're left with.
The only use would be for comedy and get a laugh because my joke about that is whoever paid for that clone hopefully kept the receipt because it's malfunctioning.
But you know, I have seen and I watch, you know, birthmarks, different, you know, like Trump's. He's great to watch. Because his lips are small. He's, you know, you can see the way he talks. That's real difficult. But, you know, I was looking at Joe Biden's ears way back, and they connect real deep. The Joe Biden we see today, now this may maybe come from facelifts, could have, but they connect right down the bottom of the lobe instead of back up a ways.
Yeah, yeah. I think it could be facelifts, and he just looks like freaky because he's got black eyes, and when he smiles, and it's like, wow, yeah. Is this like Exorcist 5? What's going on? It's just scary as
it is. And he's not the only one either. I mean, you look at, well, like Tom Hanks, something ain't right there with him. Is that, you know, just watching people, watching their actions, listening to their voice, something's not right.
To add to that, though, I've been watching movies from 10 years ago when they were slightly good. Good movies are older, but the movies now suck. A lot of people have aged badly in a decade. I don't know if it's the stress of reality or we're changing timelines, but there's also that where you look at a young whoever, and then you look at them now, it's like, oh, okay. Then you look at them just 10 years ago, and it's like, that's a completely different person. Is like, yeah. Is that because of the radiation, cosmic stuff, and we're aging more like Obi-Wan Kenobi on Tatooine? What's going on?
The lot of reading I've been doing on that adrenochrome, or chrome, whatever they call it, the blood they supposedly get from abused kids and things like that with the adrenaline in it. Reading a lot of articles on that, and that this adrenochrome could have been tainted. That could have brought this, whatever this is going around in. But you look at Celine Dion. She was beautiful, beautiful. Look at her today. She looks she's aged 100 years.
Good one, Wally. I forgot all about her. It's like, oh, my God. It's like her life essence has been stolen from her. Another one is like Sarah Jessica Parker, I see, is the same sort of thing. You wonder, I mean, you know, just what do they eat? Like a sliver of ginger daily? I mean, it's unbelievable.
They look like a podling strapped to that chair in the Dark Crystal where the crystal's sucking out the life force.
Yeah.
They're turning into a Skeksis. It's kind of scary. To add to that is Hollywood's basically shut down, and so there's hardly any red carpet. And so these attention seekers aren't getting the attention, and they're not getting that energy, and they're slowly withering away. And this is where I hand the talking stick to Bruce McDonald, because I'm just going to say Madonna, and I'll let Bruce rant.
but you know, Madonna is Madonna, you know. I mean,
The latest thing that, like, apparently that was Madonna, and she's had a lot of work done, and she looks like an 8-year-old pale albino Chinese boy.
Yeah, right. The Korean boy look by Madonna.
Yeah.
It's creepy what these people get. Can you imagine how self-obsessed you have to be to live that way, and how much you hate yourself? Like, it's unbelievable, man. They can't even live in their own skin.
Well, yeah, back at the start of the year, remember those heady days of February? I can't remember June, so apparently I was alive in February. I started up my podcast, and I'm retooling that so I can figure it out. But at the same time, Brie Larson, Will Smith, you know, all these supposed millionaires are starting a podcast. It's like, how am I supposed to, why are they doing it? And B, how do I compete with that? And I'll still be here because I think they're all dropped off in popularity because people realized they're boring people, as well as Hollywood actors aren't built for smartphone cameras. Because you look at them like, you're normal and hot. Except for Gal Gadot. She's a very attractive young woman.
I guess so. Yeah. You mean Wonder Woman, for me, right?
Yes, yeah, that's the one.
Wonder Woman. Okay.
Yeah.
She's a hardcore Israeli firster. You know that, eh?
Yeah, I mean, she's not perfect. I've noticed that a lot of people on the left are very attractive, but they've got mental issues, like deep, heavy mental. It's so disturbing where, like, apparently there's more attractive women on the conservatives, and they're mostly sane compared to the left, where I see, they're attractive, and then I look at their Instagram posts, and it's like, I've been in therapy for 13 years, and it's like, really? Get better? It's not a crutch. It's just, yeah. It just freaks. It's just like, you know, Orange Man bad. And like, he said, I've had arguments when, 4 years ago at the election where there was, you know, one person was screaming about Trump and, they thought I was a Trump supporter because I was pointing out that the Clintons were worse. He said things. Yeah. Those things that he said allegedly is what the Clintons have been doing for decades. You're a Trump supporter. Oh, for the love of.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. Couldn't agree more. Well, we're in this sorry state, and it's, look, as Charles Dickens once said, you know, it's the best of times and it's the worst of times.
Exactly.
And, you know, I mean, it's amazing how he summed up everything there. Like, I think he was writing about the 19th century too, but it's more relevant in the 21st century. You know,
here's a question mm-hmm. for us all. What can people do now in the interim, like in the short term? Let's try and end the show on a bit of positive of what can we do to survive the insanity?
Well, I'm probably least qualified to answer that because I'm not living in the insanity. You know, I can observe it, but I'm not in it, so I don't need to survive it.
That's a good thing though, because like now, obviously we all can't move to a mountain in Central America. There's not enough mm-hmm. mountains. However, if you put the premise of like you've followed your passion, you listen to your heart, you're doing what you want, you're almost off grid, and mm-hmm. you don't allow this stuff from an energetic point of view to take over your life. Even with the wonderful Wally here, he's doing similar, but in Michigan, and apart from the taxes, because government sucks. You're happy with your existence at this point in time?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh, definitely.
When I leave the house, the only thing I know about there's a pandemic is because everyone's wearing a mask. Apart from that, it's standard operating procedure: leave the house, don't talk to anyone, buy food, come back. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we should wind up here. We got about 5 minutes left, maybe four, maybe three and a half, actually.
Jeez, time's moving fast.
And I don't know, it kind of crawled, for me anyways. But I don't know. I'm so sick of talking about this stuff and like the drama of it and everything. Like what's going to happen is going to happen.
Exactly.
And it's been wrong. Yeah, I mean, it's been drawn out so much, it's getting ridiculous, right? I mean, just get on with it already.
Yeah, I mean, we voted Asteroid and Kanye got more votes, but we'll talk about that later. But the thing is, like, that's what I said, what can we do is energetically remove yourself from the narrative. You can be aware of it, and what will happen is supposed to happen, where will the courts show corruption, basically what we're seeing, because... apart, you talk to people that support, you know, I voted Joe Biden without mentioning Trump, why? And there's like 20 seconds of silence. It's like, but I hate Trump. It's like, yeah, there you go. It's not a popularity contest. So we have to just wait for things to unfold. I like what Andrew Bartz says, where the global narrative has fired all its writers and they're skipping season three. So until January, it's just going to be weird. So invest in yourself, like Viking says, find your passion and be the change you want to be, which is live your life to the fullest, which Bruce and Wally and almost myself are doing, where it's like, Bill Hicks said, CNN, war, death, famine, AIDS, war, death, famine, AIDS. You walk outside, where's all this stuff happening? And you can see. The false narrative that the media puts forward, they're doing. I mean, really, saying that Parler, the new Twitter app, is a threat to democracy because they speaky wordsy, I don't likey. Like, that's the level of – this is ridiculous. I mean, even the guy from NBC, like, we tell you what to think, basically. You can't look at the WikiLeaks emails is illegal, but we'll look at them and tell you. And this is where the fake news thing came up on both sides, where Trump was like, because the media are losing ground. And that's what the article sort of says that you sent me, Bruce, is that they're going to fight all this misinformation, which is basically saying, well, we don't agree with that in our reality. Everyone has to be in lockstep with the, you know, peace, love, and mung beams. Oh, you're on fire. Who cares? And so that's why we're still, and that's why we have Revolution Radio, which I find it funny when people say, oh, they've won, they're in total control. You just said that on air, on the internet, where anyone can listen. I don't think they've won.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's, I see the program's about over. Bruce, thank you for inviting me in. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure, Wally. Always
talking with you and Monty.
Yep.
And our birthdays are the same day.
Yep, International Women's Day. That's right, ladies. Wally and I are God's gift to women. No, I'm so lonely. So it's good to talk to you again, Wally.
Everybody be safe.
We're on Studio A here at Revolution Radio, folks. You can hit us up at freedomslips.com. Please hit the Patreon button and donate. We need you to keep doing what we do here. We hope you enjoy the entertainment and information and perspective that we bring to you. And you want to be a part of it by giving something back. We'll see you next time. This has been Bruce, Monty, and Wally for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Revolution.